We're good. All right, then. Call to order. First, thank you for, being patient. This regular meeting of the mayor and council of the borough of Atlantic Highlands is called pursuant to the provisions of the Open Public Meetings Law. Adequate notice has been provided by transmitting the resolution of the annual meetings to the Asbury Park Press and the Two River Times by posting in the Borough Hall on a bulletin board reserved for such announcements, and by filing with the municipal clerk on January 3rd, 2022. This agenda is complete to the extent known, and formal action will be taken. Roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Here.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Here.
Mr. Dougherty?
Here.
Mr. Crowley? Mr. Barakia?
Here.
Mr. Baum?
Here.
Mayor Gluckstein?
Here. Please stand for a silent prayer and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. I need a motion and a second to approve the meeting minutes for April 28th.
So moved, Dougherty.
Second, Baum.
Roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Barakia?
Yes.
Mr. Baum?
Yes.
Minutes have been approved.
Okay, and now I need a motion and a second to go into public for the ordinance for 2022, amending the ordinance January 2022 salary. I need a motion.
I'll move it.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Questions? Anyone for this ordinance? Anyone on Zoom? Doug?
No hand raised.
Okay.
There's no audio. People can hear on Zoom. Just a little.
Oh.
Where's the speaker? I mean, the microphone. It's not in its usual spot.
Usually it's up here, the little...
Put it in the bag.
I thought this was it. This goes to the recording.
There it is. Yay, Michelle! That's okay.
So we're really just trying to show everybody how awesome this new setup's gonna be. Because, you know, these things don't happen, which is great. So, in case, you know, that's our point. It's great.
Is there audio now? Okay.
Just reiterate what we just did.
Okay, just for those, now we are in open public hearing right now for ordinance four, the amending ordinance of 1-2022 for the salary ordinance. And I was seeing if anyone on the Zoom call have any questions.
There are no hands currently raised.
Okay, thank you. And for that, I need a motion and second to close public.
I'll move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, now I need a motion and a second to adopt.
I'll move the salary ordinance.
I'll second.
Okay. And roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Barakia?
Yes.
Mr. Baum?
Yes.
Ordinance 4-2022 has been approved.
And now ordinance 5-2022, authorizing the commemorative street name. I need a motion and a second to go into public.
Murphy?
Dougherty?
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Questions? Anyone on Zoom?
Nope, no hands raised on Zoom.
Okay, with that, I would like to close public, need a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Was there a second?
Second.
Okay. And roll call? Or all in favor? All in favor. And now, for this, I need a motion and a second to adopt.
Murphy?
Second.
Okay. And roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Baracchio?
Yes.
Mr. Baum?
Yes.
Ordinance 5, 2022 has been approved.
I'm very excited for that one. Ordinance 6, repealing the plastic ban. I need a motion and a second to go in public.
Baum?
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
Mr. Brogdon?
Tom Brogdon, 125 Eastern Avenue. I know it would be possible to table this issue and maybe come back with a revision to the current ordinance, whereby you would take the New Jersey state ordinance and write it into the local ordinance, and then we would memorialize that in our local ordinance as a safety net in the event that there was a change of leadership in Trenton and this state law would be voted down. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, so when something's preempted by state law, when the legislature legislates in an area, local municipalities can't but also legislate in the same area. So that's the problem. Certainly a good thought, and I think we had discussed that when we introduced, but I wouldn't recommend that because of the preemption issue.
Okay.
That's my thought on that.
No hands raised.
All right, thank you. So since I don't see anyone else, I need a motion and a second to close.
Murphy?
Dougherty?
All in favor?
Aye.
And now I need a motion and a second to repeal.
To adopt the ordinance.
Adopt the ordinance, sorry.
Second.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hohenleitner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Baracchio?
Yes.
Mr. Baum?
Yes.
Ordinance 6, 2022 has been approved.
Wonderful. Now, we're going to be moving into the public comment. It's only on agenda items only. Once again, you have to come to the front, state your name and address. Okay, hello.
Hi. Josh Valonzo, 60 Bayside Drive. I assume that the thing on South Avenue, 55 South Avenue item, is the Mother Teresa School track? Is that...
Which item, sir?
This one.
I think we're talking about Resolution 97.
That's correct, it's block 139, lot 5.
I think this is symptomatic. I said, 55 South Avenue, that sounds... I got to check. Sure enough, it's the Mother Teresa School. I think you shouldn't do this, as you know, because without this public effort, and not likely to be corrected or ameliorated by private efforts, I don't think this is a public... I don't think the borough should be doing real estate development. And I'll tell you why in the public comment section at the end, which is not related to this. But when this first started going, Councilmember Hohenleitner said there should be a vote. Why can't you just pass a resolution for a private request to go on the ballot in November, asking people if they really want to pursue this development vote, this development with borough money and with the fairly needed development? And I'll ask them whether they think, without this public effort, they're not likely to be corrected or ameliorated by private effort, whether they think that eliminates it as a project for the borough. I mean, it seems to me that the people have been left out of this, as I said. I raised this issue with Mr. Thomas in the beginning, and then at every step of the way, with no response, just people just ignore it. They ignore these 15 words like they're not even in the legislation. So it occurred to me, seeing this Councilmember Hoheinzer originally said she wanted a vote on it, that it wouldn't cost anything, right, to pass a resolution and put an advisory question on the ballot in November, and let's discuss it in town and debate the issue from there. Thank you.
Mark Fisher, 91-32. A couple of questions. Resolution 95 with Paul Wright. I thought he was already on the Environmental Commission.
He was, and then he wasn't, but now he is. It's just, he is. Okay. There you go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it's just an administrative correction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Resolution 97, I too was surprised that not anywhere in that resolution the word St. Agnes or Mother Teresa was mentioned. This study, this preliminary assessment site inspection study that CME might do if this is approved, why is this being done?
You want to take that, Rob or Doug?
Yeah, I can. If you recall, earlier, towards the end of 2021, the borough applied for Monmouth County Open Space money for $250,000 towards the purchase of this property. Monmouth County Open Space responded affirmatively, notifying the borough that the money is to be awarded. In order for the borough to execute an agreement to accept the money, the environmental work has to be done on the site. If you recall, for Manymine Avenue Park, funded wholly through this grant program, same process, same steps took place.
So
this preliminary assessment will allow the borough and the county to execute an agreement to receive the money. Without it, they can't receive the money. And there's a 6-month deadline to pull the trigger to preserve the money.
Okay, so the receipt of $250,000 would kind of indicate that there's a deal for Mother Teresa. We haven't been told that there's a deal.
Okay, so it's contingent upon, meaning if the borough were to proceed forward and the governing body wished to actually move forward and purchase the properties, they could utilize that $250K for that open space portion of the purchase price of the overall project. If the borough decides not to proceed forward, they cannot utilize those funds for anything else. They can't transfer for a different project or request it to be transferred.
So with this study, if there were leaking fuel tanks found or soil remediation that needs to be done, is it the responsibility of the diocese to clean that up, or is it the borough's responsibility after purchase, if a purchase happens?
I don't think there's been any agreement, any purchase and sale agreement, right, Rob?
Correct.
Yeah, but, you know, my recommendation would certainly be not to accept environmental liabilities you can't control.
But what if it's a contingent upon? No.
Says
no deal.
I mean, you were talking about hypotheticals. I'm not handling the transaction, but I'm sure that's something that would be in the front of your mind when you think about whether or not to do something.
Right. So I would imagine and I would assume that the governing body would take any and all information that's presented to them relative to the property into consideration when they decide whether or not to proceed forward with such purchase. So if there's environmental elements, for example, that they would take that consideration in terms of how to remediate such issues if it was the responsibility of the borough.
And my last question is on Resolution 100, the marine pump out facility. And as great as that is, where's the money coming from? I mean, a lot of politicians signed off on that resolution, but is it going to be county funded, state funded, federal funded, or is it going to expect it to come out of the borough?
I doubt it's coming out of the borough, but that's something I'll have to look into.
That's not something in our budget.
Yeah. So I believe that in recalling that one, let me just bring it up again, that request came from the state assembly and state officials. Therefore, they're the ones that are encouraging this allocation and request. that the funds would then, my assumption is that those funds would come.
It sounds like something that's going to come out of the state budget.
Yeah, and there's no wording that directs the local municipalities to implement or to allocate any monies towards that. It's just, it's a supporting document as opposed to a directive.
Thank you. Resolution 97. So the way I understand it is you want to go in and want to do an environmental assessment on property. How do you go about doing that if you haven't made a purchase and agreement? And the church is their property, so how do you get to go inside and do a test or test the soil? It would just seem to me that it wouldn't make sense for them to agree to that unless there's actually a put on law for it. So can you discuss that a little bit?
Yeah. So, Doug, I don't know if you want to interject, but it's in their best interest to allow us to do it because they're obviously would like to sell the property. And they're well aware that we have obtained a 250K. We were awarded that grant, and that part of that award is to proceed forward with this action. So there's been no indication or communication that I'm aware of that they are resistant to us proceeding forward with it.
I've, you know, in my experience in transactions of that nature, like a commercial type property, you always recommend on the buyer side, you go in and do your own environmental testing. And I've never had a seller say you can't do it because I'm sure the buyer would then walk away from the deal.
So am I hearing that a firm offer and acceptance contingent upon environmental testing?
No, you are not.
So then again, why would the church allow us to go onto their property and find the problem or not that's going to devalue the property for them? Do we have permission from them to do that?
The property owner was in support of the grant application initially.
Okay.
And the grant, this portion of the grant program is specifically to allow municipalities to purchase private property to be preserved as open space. So this process, it falls within the guidelines of the grant program. It's a pretty regular program. And of course, before any of if government body moves forward with this, of course, and my employees would have to gain additional authorizations to access the property and any files that they have.
Lastly, what was the offer on the property initially?
I don't know if there's been a formal offer, and also that's executive session.
Executive session.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Anyone on Zoom?
No hand raised, Mayor.
Okay. So with that, I'm going to be moving on to the consent agenda. These items will be enacted by one motion. If detailed deliberation is desired on any item, council may remove that item from the consent agenda and consider it separately. Resolution 95, amending the resolution 1422 for the appointment. Resolution 96, authorizing the project extension for the data collection. Resolution 97, authorizing CME to perform preliminary assessment. And Resolution 98, payment of bills. And Resolution 100, supporting availability of marine pump out facilities. So I need a motion and a second.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hornlightman?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Barakia?
Yes.
Mr. Bombs?
Yes.
Items on the consent agenda passed.
Resolution 99, amending the 2022 municipal budget. I need a motion in a second.
I'll move it.
Second.
Okay, roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hornlightman?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Barakia?
Yes.
Mr. Bombs?
Yes.
Resolution 99, 2022 has passed.
Resolution 93, adopting the 2022 municipal budget. I need a motion and a second.
Thought so. Motion.
Second.
And roll call.
Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Ms. Hornlightner?
Yes.
Mr. Dougherty?
Yes.
Mr. Barakia?
Yes.
Mr. Bombs?
Yes.
Resolution 93-2022 has passed.
I just want to thank my finance committee for doing a great job. Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. So, we're going to start with our reports. Councilman Murphy?
Yes, thank you, Mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Not a whole lot tonight, relatively short. I'll leave fire, OEM, and police to Councilman Bombs and Dougherty. Recreation, not a whole lot since we've last met. Our next meeting in recreation is May 19th, so we'll have more for recreation at the next meeting. I will touch on the townwide garage sale, which is this weekend, May 14th, between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Hopefully you've registered for this, since it was due by the 6th. Our rain date will be the 15th, and I'm sure you can check our website for more details on that. DPW, there's a few things to talk about, Department of Public Works. The DPW truck 401 has been returned with a new body installed. This truck has been the borough's front run salt and plow truck since 2016. The previous body was severely rusted from the corrosive salt application over the years. A new body was fabricated from stainless steel, and the best corrosion protection possible was provided. By replacing the body, this has greatly extended the life of the vehicle and has a huge cost savings to our residents. The unit is outside in front of Borough Hall in the parking lot. If you'd like to take a look at it, feel free to stop on by. DPW is trying to get caught up on lawn maintenance from several days of rain and much more rain expected to come. The buildings and grounds members maintain over 40 lawns and locations townwide. We ask that you're patient with them. They are doing their best. No member from any public works department can do any type of work to trees or limbs with any type of power, phone or cable lines touching the entangled, touching or entangled in the tree or branch until removed and deemed safe by the appropriate agencies. We are in a holding pattern until some respond and allow us to safely remove the material. DPW is out with road patch and traffic line painting. And as always, please refer to the borough calendar for all schedules and borough information. Any issues, please call Jimmy Phillips at 848-444-0067. That leaves me lastly with first aid, and there is not much to report for first aid. Doing some training, and that's about it for now.
Okay, thank
you. That's it for me, Mayor. Thank you.
Councilwoman Holminer.
I think that's going to be pretty short, Mayor. Kind of covered the budget,
so mm-hmm.
finance and personnel, there's nothing to report in addition. In the harbor, just a couple small things that have come up. We've approved a couple of events, including, and it's exciting that we're going to have the Historical Society back in the harbor doing their annual event where we have flea market. It's the 42nd annual flea market, and so it's going to be great to have it back again. And Central Baptist Church is going to be using the gazebo and grass areas on several Saturdays in August for free concerts. Mm-hmm. In addition, we have the Yacht Club doing some improvements or proposing some improvements that they're continuing to work on, and they'll be presenting additional plans, I think, at the next meeting. But we have seen a mock-up of what they're thinking about doing for expansion on the roof. And in terms of open space, this was something significant in that capacity. We're also continuing to do our inventory of open space. We will meet this month. We've been kind of in a holding pattern waiting to see. There's going to be a meeting upcoming to discuss possible improvements at Center Avenue Park and the adjacent property that the borough will be obtaining. That's where it has obtained. And then for Shade Tree, I'll have Mr. Dougherty skip that one. Exciting, the mayor, Mr. Gardine, and I met. We've really been, Atlanta Commons has been embracing June as Pride Month, and so every year we've added something in addition to what we've done. So the council unanimously approved a resolution, I guess it was 4 years ago, celebrating Pride. The next year we had flags in front of Borough Hall, and we did that again last year with the inclusive Pride flag. This year the Henry Hudson Gay Straight Alliance has had a lot of input. It's the first year we'll be able to do something in person because we've been dealing with COVID. So we're going to have on June 1st at 3:45 a flag raising on our main flagpole in front of Borough Hall. This has all been approved by our insurance. We've been really diligent in managing our risk. And we're also going to, it's interesting, there's other municipalities that have painted crosswalks, and it's actually not legal to do it.
Yeah.
And I thank Mr. Ferragina for really looking into, like, how can we do this possibly? So instead, what we're going to do on the 1st, and I hope it continues throughout the month, it just keeps going, we're going to talk in front of Borough Hall with really inclusive messages. We hope everybody comes out and supports. And we're excited, and the kids are excited, and Kathleen Boylan is an amazing partner in just thinking through some ideas. I see Ms. Northrup is here, so we can think about a way to maybe organize different sections for the kids to be in participation. And that is it for me.
Can you touch on, thank you for going yesterday.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, sorry. That's your gig. So I
no, no, that's
it.
You.
So I don't know how many of you have driven by 21 Leonard, but it is a great property that totally, it's one of the nicest houses on the street. So, you know, it's just a beautiful home that's been built by Habitat for Humanity. Yesterday was another Women Build Day. So that was the second time I was there for Women Build. Mr. Dougherty and our borough administrator, Mr. Ferragina, were there. And it was just great. Valley National was the main partner that was helping to build. Mm-hmm. And they were doing, like, they were weeding, and they were doing like things that are not necessarily glamorous, but like really make the property look great. And the Shade Tree Commission, just remember that you can report on what they're going to do there, but we're going to put trees. Shade Tree's going to donate some trees to...
Spoiler, Brian.
we've been planning out in the fall planting, so that we're looking forward to doing that. But really, the name of the family that's going to be living there is the Rivera family. And I, of course, because everybody here knows me, teared up when I heard the name for the first time when the executive director was speaking, because, you know, there's a family with twins that are sleeping in one room with their parents right now. Hi, Chief. And it's going to be like changing for that family. And they've already been in touch with the school district, and they're going to really be a part of our community. They put more sweat equity apparently into this home than any other family has in a very short time. So we can't wait for the ribbon cutting. We're thinking June at this point, I think they said. And it looks great. So go drive by and go visit. They're still working every day, and wear sensible shoes. Andy, the foreman, scolded me twice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you for going yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mayor. So the fire department met on Monday, May 9th. As Councilman Murphy had previously reported here, the department is looking to install a lighted sign on the firehouse. So the department will be submitting an application for the sign to the borough soon, to our zoning officer, Mrs. Clark. The apparatus committee has continued to make progress on the specifications for the new fire truck. It's been reported the general design has been completed, but more fine detail work remains. Several members of the committee will be attending the Fire Expo in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania next week, May 20th and 21st. Nothing to add on first aid. Planning board met on Thursday, May 5th. Two applications were heard and approved, bulk variance relief at both 125 East Washington and 82 Bayside Drive. The planning board will again meet on Thursday, June 2nd. Environmental Commission has not met since our last meeting. Its next meeting will be held on Tuesday, May 24th, 7 o'clock. But exciting news on the charging station front. And pleased to report that after several months of work, we have submitted a grant application to the NGDEP today. And tomorrow we'll submit a second application to the Bureau of Public Utilities. So special thanks to Blake Deacon, Environmental Commission Chairman, and Mr. Ferragina for all their help and efforts on this project. Shade Tree, as Councilwoman Hollenmeyer mentioned, met last evening. The commission is working to find a vendor for the street tree planting program. Given the ongoing labor issues with the pandemic, this has been difficult, so conversations continue, and it now seems likely the trees will be installed in the fall. So okay. We hope to have some news on that. There was an update from Co-Chair Fred Calley about the Memorial Tree Plaque website connection. As a reminder, Fred's been working on this project to install new plaques on the memorial trees with QR codes that people with their smartphones can walk along and see, Mayor Donahue, take a picture, and the QR code will link up to a part of the website to talk and show the picture, show biographical information on this. And so he's done a lot of work on this project. It sounds really exciting. And it links in, the timing works really well with the In Progress website update that's being worked on in the Technology Committee. So it should be rolled out fairly soon, so more on that soon. Lastly, parking. Parking committee meets again next week, Thursday, May 19th. The group continues to encourage council to authorize parking and traffic study. And to that end, the committee hopes to be provided guidance on what specific metric we will use to consider Atlantic Highlands back to normal. So perhaps we can have that conversation at some point. What is normal? It's very existential, but yeah. The committee would love some input and guidance on that.
Thank you. Mr. Crowley is not here. Mr. Brock.
But as far as finance goes, we just saw it for the budget, and all the department heads got what they wanted. It's the fifth year of six. We have a flat budget. Doesn't mean we won't pay more taxes. It depends on how your tax was assessed this year. But in the end, it's the best way we can do it. Keep things flat and keep the budget simple. And I've got to thank prior administrations for holding the line, too, on spending. And made it a lot easier for us as we go forward as well. In the harbor, we're at 13% in revenues year over year, so we're doing pretty good there. Biggest changes in building rentals. Income. We've got a number of leases that were renegotiated, and also Sea Street. We had incremental increases year after year when that was negotiated. I think it was 2 years ago we finalized that. So some of that is all kicking in as well. As far as harbor operations go, everybody is aware of the weather we had this week. We lost two boats, sank in the harbor, and the winds are real strong. We also had some damage at the jet ski pier, which is being addressed now. The sissies and on the deck painting's final. The parking lot's painted. That's final on that side. Painting in the harbor office now. Parking lot there will be painted when the rest of the boats go in the water. So that's going to take a while. And been very busy. A lot of boats going in the water. Something like 35 boats this week. And our hoist, as you know, we're getting a new one in August, but it's been holding up pretty good. We had a minor hydraulic leak, but it's repaired. It's running great. We're still trying to sell that, offset some of the expense of the new one as well. Open space was addressed. Tech, no update right now. We're trying to just set up a meeting, and we've got a lot of differing schedules, so we're going to get to that and finalize that soon. And the cannabis committee is making some final small changes to the bullet points, and then we're going to sit down and get it to our attorney for an ordinance. And that is it.
Okay, thank you. Councilman
Bombs? May 15th, this Sunday, is National Police, National Peace Officers Memorial Day, and next week is National Police Week. In honor of such a proclamation for Police Week, honoring Police Week from May 15th through the 21st, whereas in 1962, President Kennedy proclaimed May 15th as National Peace Officers Memorial Day, and the calendar week in which May 15th falls is National Police Week. Established by a joint resolution of Congress in 1962, National Police Week pays special recognition to those law enforcement officers who have lost their lives in the line of duty for the safety and the protection of others. And whereas the International Association of Chiefs of Police has declared law enforcement officer safety and wellness a top priority, and the International Association of Chiefs of Police Center of Officer Safety and Wellness promotes the importance of individual, agency, family, community safety and wellness awareness. And whereas the members of the Atlantic Highlands Police Department, as well as the rest of the departments in our nation, play an essential part in the safeguarding the rights and freedoms of citizens, including those of the borough of Atlantic Highlands, and whereas it's important that all citizens know and understand the problems, duties, and responsibilities of their police department, and that the members of our police department recognize their duty to serve people by safeguarding life, property, and by protecting them against violence or disorder, and by protecting the innocent against deception and the weak against oppression or intimidation. And whereas the Atlantic Island Police Department is a professional and accredited law enforcement agency which unceasingly provides a vital public service to our borough, now therefore be resolved by the governing body of the borough of Atlantic Highlands, County of Monmouth, State of New Jersey, do hereby pause to commemorate May 15th as National Police Officers Memorial Day and the week that follows as the 16th anniversary of National Police Week.
Thank you for reading that.
Thank you.
Brian.
Moving on with police, just a reminder, PBA Ball is coming up, which is May 27th from 7 till midnight. Any of our officers, including Kristen Powell downstairs at the Records Department, can assist you with getting tickets. Yesterday, you may have seen We had Sergeant Gurian riding around on a motorized police bicycle, which was given to us by, on loan for the day from the Highlands Police Department. Chief is looking into, you know, these bikes right now. It will basically allow our officers to respond to calls of service anywhere in town, get there very quickly, including the Henry Hudson Trail if the need does arise. Sergeant Gurry reported that the bike does travel up to 17 miles an hour going up through the hills, which is kind of impressive. And coming downhill, it did cruise down the hill at 25 miles an hour.
It's dangerous. Did he realize that 25 means 25?
Yeah. I talked to him afterwards. I asked that question.
And Chief, I just want to make sure you're not aware of
that. You can go past the bike.
25.
For the purpose of this, we're going to say it did 25. Our officers conducted 260 traffic stops in April. Officers ran 44 radar details during the month. And they're out every single day making sure the roads are safe, and 25 is 25. Another note, congratulations to Chief and the rest of the department, as well as Jim Phillips. On May 1st, we did have a tree that came down around 7 o'clock in the morning and blocked Bayside Drive till, I guess, about 6 o'clock in the evening. I know it was difficult because you had to have two officers on either side. We only had a few officers available, so kudos to you for managing the position and filling those time slots. OEM, Director Weimer issued several warnings last storm throughout the week and kept everyone on top of what was going on. And she also continues to excel in her training and emergency services. We did not have a meeting since last council meeting, so we'll put on that next week, the next meeting.
Thank you. And now, administrator's report.
I'll go first. Just three items this evening. First, as a mark of respect and remembrance of the 1 million American lives lost to COVID-19, the President has issued a statement and ordered the American flag to be flown at half staff beginning immediately and return to full staff at sunset on Monday, May 16, 2022. As a result of that, I've ordered and instructed the DPW department as well as the harbor to reduce, to lower the American flags to half staff. Second item, on May 4th, the DPW director, Jimmy Phillips, and I met with Monmouth County DPW director and his team on site in Freehold to discuss the Monmouth County Shared Services Program as well as to tour their facility. And the last item, earlier today I participated in the Monmouth County Joint Insurance Fund, otherwise known as the JIF, for their executive committee meeting via Zoom. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, go ahead, you're on.
Thank you, Mayor. First, I just wanted to report on Manymine Avenue Park. Our contractor has indicated that the playground equipment is scheduled to be delivered to their yard towards the end of June at this point. So once they have all the equipment in place and on hand, we will get a formal date that they're going to commence construction and demo the existing site and do that conversion. I want to spend a little time on our recommendations for the 22 road program as well at this time.
You know where you have to stand, right?
I'm going to take it from here.
Okay, sure.
So, at this point, we have worked with staff within the borough, and we've reviewed our recently completed projects and other recently completed paving improvements within the municipality to come up with these our recommendations to move forward. I just wanted to share with you, and I provided a reduced copy for you up on the dais entitled, it's a plan called my project inventory map. I kind of call it the war map, where we identify the needs, what's been done in the past, and help us to guide an even distribution throughout the municipality of roads to be improved with under the next program. So for the members of the public, I prepared a similar larger exhibit, and I'll try to explain it so everybody can see. Basically, this is the roadmap from the borough's website. This is the entire municipality. North is oriented up. Route 36, Memorial Parkway, I've highlighted, generally in a blue color here, roads that have been addressed either by municipally funded projects, DOT funded projects. I've indicated where the friction course has been applied to all Memorial Parkway, including the jug handles. I've highlighted First Avenue, which was completed by the county. Mm-hmm. There are several roads that were fully paved curb to curb or partially paved by the gas company after they've improved their infrastructure as well. So this was one of the documents that we used to put together our recommendation for the next round for the 2022 roads. In addition to that, met with Public Works and the administrator to review the current list of needs. Where's the most coal patch put down? Where are the most, where do we have areas where erosion is occurring along the roadsides? What needs the most attention? And usually when we recommend a road program, we try for a nice mix of mill and overlay along with full reconstruction. So obviously preventative work pays off in dividends, where if I'm to mill and overlay a road, I'm only addressing the top course. If you can get it before the full depth of the cross-section deteriorates. So when we go to a full reconstruction of the road, requires a lot more effort and cost. So our proposed program does include a mix of minimum overlay reconstruction, which is recommended. We have grants in place currently. Our 2021 municipal aid grant, that's generally going to, as a spoiler, that's going to be the focus of our recommendation. The 2021 municipal aid grant has an award deadline this fall, so we have to utilize that money. And the award deadline is met by actually awarding a contract to a contractor for the work. So the roads that remain unaddressed in the list, I included on this drawing in yellow, and I'll find another exhibit to go through what those are. I just want to talk, also we have a 2022 grant in place. That was for East Garfield. We requested just over $400,000 to improve the water main and do the work on East Garfield, but the award was less than that. It came in at $250,000 range. So we currently put an additional request into the DOT for any discretionary funding that could supplement that to allow us to do a complete project. With that being out there still at this point, I'm not recommending that we implement that section within the current program. So we'll wait for the LAIF grant to be reviewed and hopefully awarded. Or we also have the 2023 grant program, which was just announced to be open. So we're going to have to put our heads together on what roads we ask for money for the next round. Looking at the documents available now, it seems like grants might be a good fit for requesting money under the 23 program. So all those conditions, all those factors considered, I prepared what we're recommending is the 2022 plan, and up there it's highlighted, roads highlighted in red. The majority of this work is eaten up by the roads that are eligible to be funded through the 2021 municipal aid grant. So my roads 1, 2, and 3, Wesley Ave has been on the borough's radar for several years at this point. So Wesley's going to eat up a big portion of this program. East Highland. East Highland is my road number 2. There's a real issue with erosion along the curb line that needs to be addressed. It's marching its way downhill. Chapin, it's in really bad shape, and that was also requested for funding under the 21 road program. We also identified two areas of Mount, two blocks of Mount Avenue on the east side. And then Cross Street is basically the third drive at this point. We have Cross. And there's an area on First on the south side of Route 36 that's under municipal jurisdiction adjacent to the municipal border. That just really deteriorated from all the heavy truck traffic turning right there. So what we packaged up here with preliminary cost estimates comes into the $750,000 to $775,000 range, of which 75% of that it includes the roads that are specifically identified and eligible for reimbursement under the 2021 road program. So if we can, I'm envisioning, prices are a little volatile right now, very volatile. So I'm envisioning putting together a bid package to include all seven areas. And then based on when bids are received, be able to add or delete portions off of this, focusing on preserving that grant money. So by spending the 21 grant money, it preserves that grant and it puts you in a better position for the 23 grant money. So that's always a negative. If we don't spend the money and we're sitting on it, the DOT is hesitant for awarding and a significant award amount in the future. If we're on board with the recommended road list and the cost estimates, what I would do is work with your administrator and the accountants and the clerk to basically update your last road program ordinance. So back in 2019, the borough passed a $1 million ordinance for $1 million to address roads within the borough. If you recall, all of Bayside Drive was funded out of that ordinance and since been reimbursed. And my understanding is that money can't go back into this ordinance. It would have to be basically reappropriated in a new ordinance in order to spend it on the next round of roads. So, are there any questions?
I have a question, but did you have a question first?
I have two questions. One question is, I was going to ask Brian, but you are in the planning board meetings too. The Highland Avenue portion?
Correct, yep.
Is there going to be any heavy equipment in the property that is the church property that's getting converted? When would this start? Like, is it possible, would that project be finished before this would start? Just thinking about heavy equipment being in the area.
I'm trying to identify, in my brain, I want to understand the area.
Third in East Highland.
Yeah.
Third in East Highland, right. That's where because there's going to be a significant disturbance to the road for the utility cuttings when that project goes.
So would it happen after? I guess that's my question. Would it happen after?
I think the better thing would be if we have an ordinance on the book, if they open the road up to do any work, they have to pay from corner to corner. Right. So it might be beneficial to do that at the same time.
Yeah.
When they do that, they open that up. Maybe we can get a discount because we're going to get a crew here to pay that block.
So isn't that at 3rd and Lincoln, the church we're talking about?
It's between the two. It's on the corner of East Island.
Yeah.
People across the street are in the audience today. So I'm just... It's Washington, not Highland. Not Lincoln, but yeah.
Obviously, I don't want to do anything that would have to be unlocked.
You have to roll this paved to get something to trench. We're trying to hold off until they put the utility connection in the do the new building. So when we put a paved road, they want to tear it up and they practically do it. That's why we're just trying to patch that as best we can.
Right.
And hold off until that stuff. Same with Avenue D, with those conditions, but we're going to encourage all the vehicle volume to be in contact with the houses down there. Stay on Avenue D,
You're going to know the answer to my other question. The part on Mount that we're not doing between Grand, is it okay there?
It's not nowhere near as bad as the other side or
the spot. It's just Adam Huberty, the Huberty family, I think we're just.
Yeah.
That would be
done.
That's not that bad shape, but.
I know how bad it is down by, like, the kitchen.
The other side of Keystone doing a pilot on Mount, it's really bad.
Yeah. That's where I want
to. Before the bridge, it's really good.
Okay.
And Doug, I just have two questions, one really for clarification. You mentioned the deadline to use the 2021 grant. What was that again? I didn't understand that.
It's September of 22. So we have a lot of work to do very quickly.
Sure.
The funding needs to go in place, design, the bid docs need to be approved by DOT. We have to go out to bid publicly for CPAs and make that award by September.
Got it. And then First Avenue is a county road, we know, but that section right there, that's over by Portland Point, which desperately needs some road work, which is fantastic that that's being done. That is municipal property at that point?
Yes.
Okay.
Right, you have to, it goes from...
It's just passed by, right before their crosswalk.
Turns into state, and then beyond the state limits to municipal.
Or yes, that's, okay, gotcha, that's it, thank you.
I know you don't know when they're gonna open up for the construction on East Town by the old church, but if we award a grant, do they have to have it completed by a certain time? The reason I'm asking is because if they have to open that road up for the connections, while they have the material, the milling machine, everything on site, maybe we can get a package deal and save some money doing the rest of that stretch.
So there's two things, right? To preserve the grant, we just have to make the award to the contractor. And we can, generally, we can work with the contractor on where they attack first. I never permit a contractor to go wreck the entire town all at once, right? I'd ask them to work from road to road. And yeah, there's some ability to work around or reduce that limit temporarily.
And then the only other statement, which I think we discussed a couple meetings ago, for those of you who aren't aware, as soon as the bridge gets repaired up on Ocean Boulevard, the county will be paving the rest of Ocean from top to bottom. So don't think it's not going on attendance. We're talking about road programs right now. Mm-hmm. It's just we have to wait for them to fix that bridge up there.
That's a great point.
So.
Not yet.
I know there's a lot of completed projects on the west side of First Avenue, but this doesn't call for anything new on the west side of First Avenue. Is it because the majority of the areas have been kind of taken care of?
So the grant actually identified Washington as being in need, but the gas company
is still
took care of that already.
Okay.
So that was recently done. And then same with South Ave, that was recently done by the gas company.
Okay.
So it's by the
there's
way
been
the,
work.
There's been work, new work, fresh pavement, and at no direct cost to the borough. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Senna?
Just very quickly, Mayor. Two things. First thing, I was in communication with the attorney for Denholz regarding the McConnell tract. We've reviewed certain proposed easements that he's provided to us. I reviewed them with Mr. Rohmeyer's firm. He's going to be sent, I sent our proposed revisions back to him, and the developer is going to be sending us a draft contract going over the details and specifics of how the conveyance of the open space property and other related issues are going to go. Secondly, because it came up last meeting, I'll just say that with regard to Mother Teresa property, there were questions whether is there open space that's owned by the church that's, you know, that has an exemption from the borough. I reviewed the tax map. It is a little bit confusing because of the way the map is drawn, but there are what look like lots on the tax map that are in the Mother Teresa lot, but they're former lots that were acquired by Mother Teresa. I don't know why the person who drew the tax map included former lots on the map. I mean, they are separated by dotted lines, but that's what that is. So no, there isn't a separate lot owned by Mother Teresa that has an exemption that's not being used at the present time. Okay, that's all I have.
All right then, thank you so much. Now we're going to be moving into public comment. I'm going to go with people that are here tonight, and then I'll move over to Zoom. Please once again come forward, state your name and address. Mr. Broadbent.
I'd like to thank Mr. Rohmeyer for reaching out to me this week. We have talked about Money Creek, and I feel comfortable that he's heard me, and he's going to look at this interest of the community. And one issue was just to open up the fence and let the terrapins get out of that pond, because they have no place to nest right now, and they're trapped in there. That was one. With respect to your proposal, roads are tough in this county. It is what it is, and it's always a big project. I wanted to know, specifically, how do we coordinate our efforts with New Jersey Natural Gas? Because I live on East Mountain and, and Summit. And I can tell you firsthand that they have cut in new gas lines, but they haven't honored our ordinance that says they need to pay from curb to curb. So when there's unfinished business like that, how does that get coordinated where, in lieu of them paving, they'll make a financial contribution to go into the project?
What you, well, do you know when they did the work? Which I know was what, within the last 2 years?
It was prior to the ordinance.
Yeah, I'm just curious if it was prior to the...
It actually was after the ordinance, so maybe one of the strategies could be to take a look at what permits that they have requested, sort of look at the date of demarcation, and then go back and evaluate, come up with like a really equitable solution that has them kick in some dollars to support some of these projects, and then just...
I know personally, and mine was before the ordinance was passed, but personally there was a period of like what they had done had to settle before they could do the curb to curb. So I don't, but it, how long ago was it?
Oh,
it has it been years?
The past this couple of years.
No, but it's been more than 6 months, you're saying?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Okay. Way more than 6 months. And the other issue was I always say we split, okay? And they would go ahead and try to bond up the seal. They have a responsibility to go ahead and heat seal that. So the problem is on East Meadow, on the hill, it's the velocity of water and how much. So they never do that. And what happens is you just cut the road and it breaks up. I think the other thing we need to think about is maybe putting some weak ordinances in East Town. Because I've seen the roads actually, when the guys go around painting lines, well, that paint is heavy. You know, and it's like 6,000 pounds kind of thing, and it just destroys. It destroys everything. So maybe we should think about how to regulate that a little bit. I live above the Peanut Stone Bridge. This thing's not going to last forever. And with all the construction that's been going on, you can see the depression, especially pulling out all the dirt out of Nanny Creek, and it just sinks things down. So maybe we should be able to walk forward and look at not the old stationary data of water flow from like the 80s, because that game is over. I mean, we get way more rain, way more speed, we have way more slow on these roads than everybody thinks, and good engineering matters. And I think when you hire good engineers, you solve problems the first time. It costs you, but you know what you're dealing with.
Thank you. Mr. Meinstorp.
Josh, well, that's what I said. Yes, I got it. I forgot to mention with the previous thing, you know, Modern Day is close.
I know.
So maybe the Archdiocese is going to rethink their legal state. Anyway, I want to say that now that the COVID stuff is not disappearing and it's kind of coming back a little, like I heard you could require all the employees to be vaccinated. Bring it down so again. Bayside Drive, the tree fell at 10 o'clock in the morning. It's not a big deal when the tree falls, because everybody on Bayside Drive, 80 to 90%, I could be sure, has a whole house generated because we lose our power all the time. It fell on Sunday and blocked the road completely. The previous week, a tree fell opposite our house, just the top branches got into it. So you know this is a common occurrence. It took 5 hours for the tree people to show up, which I understand, because when we see what they have to do with the wires, it's like you can't just get any tree person to come and move these trees. Took them 5 hours to get there, and then another 5 hours and 45 minutes before power was restored. But my point is that from 10 o'clock in the morning until about 6 o'clock at night, there were 42 houses, that were inaccessible to emergency vehicles of any kind. This happened in September also. I would like Bayside Drive to be open into Highlands. Unfortunately, the washout, as I'm sure Mr. Romeyer knows, is in Highlands, and people don't pay money to do an expensive project that basically benefits the town next door. Now, I just want to say, so everybody knows, one other reason I'm so opposed to the Mother Teresa thing is what happened was after the washout in Highlands, there were five or six properties stranded on the Atlantic Highlands side of the washout. And Atlantic Highlands had to pick up their garbage, and Atlantic Highlands had to provide their fire. So the previous administrator and administration, they made a deal that Atlantic Highlands would acquire those five or six properties in exchange for a 10-foot strip of land on the border that they gave to Highlands, that Highlands then conveyed to Pulte Homes to build Hudson's Ferry at Harborside, or whatever it's called. So, while and I made this a big issue at the time, I said, I want the road closed, and they said, oh, look, we've got this great deal. I don't think it's a great deal, because what you gave away was the safety of the people on Bayside Drive in an emergency. I mean, so at that point, I thought that they should use the six houses as hostages to force Highlands to fix the road. And while we're at it, that was in 2014 that we acquired those houses. They're still not on the GIS map. Okay, I raised this at Adam Tubney's last meeting. He gave an explanation. I did not understand. Some state law was supposed to approve whatever. But, you know, it's 8 years now, and it's not on the map. Okay?
Thank you. To say. Thank you.
The other thing I want to say is, I know you, like me, and I assume you, like me, are upset about what's going on in Ukraine. Okay? Mm-hmm. In 2019, this council passed a resolution opposing the pipeline through the bay to the offshore gas, natural gas terminal. Wouldn't it have been nice if we could have loaded up natural gas ships with natural gas from Pennsylvania to take to Europe to prevent them, to give them the strength to stand up to the aggression? I would like to repeat. Mr. Councilman Baraccia abstaining, Councilwoman Hohenleitner, Crowley and Murphy voted in favor, Councilman Bonds and Doherty were not on the council. But I would urge you to rescind that and point out that, yes, there are environmental issues, but there are also other issues involved. And two small things. I wanted the borough to do something official for Juneteenth, to try to have a Juneteenth. I tried to contact some of the headboat owners, because most of the African Americans on there love to fish. So we could have a tournament and everybody could have orange or red.
There's going to be a Juneteenth celebration with the library.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't heard about that.
Yeah. But okay. We had talked a few times. I told you there was a group that was.
Well, you did tell me there was a group. Okay, and my last thing is just a question. Is First Avenue beyond Ocean, is that county or that boat?
Correct. Yeah, it just makes the turn at Ocean.
And then it's the boat.
Yep.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I've got a question. Should we have a plan in the event we have another Sandy or something and people are stuck like that just to get
on that
emergency
road you're talking about?
Yeah, because that's a disaster waiting to happen. Yeah.
So we actually have a meeting in place within the next 2 weeks of various entities to discuss that road and occurrences that may or may not happen on the road, such as as Mr. Lyons pointed out.
Good.
Trees coming down, lines coming down, communication with emergency services outside of our borough, communication with utility companies, et cetera, et cetera. There'll be various individuals at that meeting, represented from the police department, represented from the fire department, our OEM coordinator, and represented from DPW, and various other individuals. So, Mr. Leindorf's point, which I thank you, sir, for bringing that topic up, is well noted, because it is something we need to be aware of and concerned of, so that the more preparation and communication we can have, the better. So that meeting is scheduled.
Hey, everyone, good evening. Ashley Cruz, 124 Westway Avenue. Thank you for your paving boards here. I'm happy to see that Westway is on that, and yes, my block is on that.
Your whole road's getting paved.
It is. Well, not all the way today.
But. Your whole road?
Yeah.
The people you're sitting
with. I have two questions about that. One, I think I just learned we have an ordinance that says you're going to pave from curb to curb.
If the utility company comes in, for example, if the gas company comes in, digs up the road, in the past, what they used to do, generally speaking, is just either repair what they dug up, or they repair half of the road, right? So the ordinance requires that moving forward, they repair curb to curb.
But only the utility companies?
The company's doing the work.
Well,
the
company's doing
the work. I asked this specifically because my block has no curbs. So in that case...
Side to side.
So it would be curb line to curb line.
Okay.
Full width, if it meets the criteria to warrant full width pavement.
Okay.
Right, if they're coming in and doing a small excavation and they're going to mow down the road, that wouldn't trigger necessarily full width pavement.
Okay.
So generally speaking, if they come in and they if there's water, if there's sewer, or if there's gas, and it's totally, if the main and the services are all open cut excavating, that would trigger. We wouldn't. The ordinance does not allow that to just be trench repair restoration.
Okay, got you. But this has nothing to do with curbs and solely asphalt paving.
So that is a good question.
We don't have any curbs.
Right. So primarily, it's a road resurfacing project.
Okay.
It would address the handicap ramps at the corners to meet the current requirements. Any storm sewer inlets would be upgraded to meet current DEP requirements. We would look at regrading if there's issues of where there's low spots or some drainage issues. East Highland, for example, is primarily focused on addressing the lack of curbs or deteriorating curbs, I believe, on the south side. So. There's going to be a mix of improvement. Not every road on this is going to look the same when it's done.
And then my second question is, regarding maybe possibly like any street trees that are adjacent to the roadway. What would maybe make them become affected to the paving project? Anything, or you think?
So none of the areas that we're looking at now have been identified to be in need of upgrade of the utilities, right? The water laterals, the sewer and sewer laterals. So I'm envisioning staying within the existing footprint of the pavement.
Okay.
They're a fully developed municipality at this point. We're not going to be changing grades that much. So. At this point, I anticipate the impact in street trees to be minimal.
Okay. Thank you.
Real quick, Doug, I have a question for you. Because I don't know if it was before my time when it first came out. That ordinance, did that also include, for instance, like if they're offloaded bulldozers and excavators which tear up the road surface as well, was that repair of the road surface included in that? Or was it just that they took up?
It's aimed at road opening, so if any entity other than the municipality needs to open a municipal road, if you meet that threshold, you gotta pay an edge to edge.
I think Councilman Dockerty and I talked about once when we were on planning board about that as well, maybe including that, because, you know, like 158, they go pave that because they've got equipment, bulldozers, excavators, they just tear it up when they grind the gears on that, so maybe someone will look at it.
Yeah, absolutely, so a large development like that would, be required to post performance guarantees or maintenance bonds that would cover any type of restoration.
All right, thank you. Anyone else? Oh, Mr. Fisher.
When's the main voyage of the new broadcasting equipment? We were told a couple of weeks ago.
Right, John's not here, as you can see. Okay. What I know that he said the last time, and I think it's still there, that they have to set up training for the equipment. Okay. Like, I guess there's a joystick and how to, you know, use the, for the camera.
CME's been doing a great job.
I know.
It's well within the scope of their duties, isn't it? Municipal engineer, you run the meetings.
What I hear, the new system's even easier than what he's doing now.
Yeah.
My vote is to go with CME, whichever engineer.
There you go, Doug.
Great job. But will it be by the next meeting?
As long as Mr. Crowley and the company both, are in agreement with a date and time that works for both of them, that's what we're waiting for. Yeah, and he's out of town currently.
We discussed the new engine committee for the fire department. I just want to warn all of you, building fire apparatus has become very, very, very expensive to the tune of 20% over the course of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So a local department just got bids on a new engine and it was astounding. And they weren't that far
even
off
if they have the pieces.
So the it's the reality, and just be aware when those bids come in for the new apparatus, it's gonna be something. The flagpole replacements on Memorial Parkway.
So we're working with the DOT right now to come up with a date that both they and the company that's going to install them are both available and agree to come and do this, because the company cannot come without the DOT shutting down the road, and the company has other places that they're installing flags, so both entities are working on proposed dates. I've been, as the mayor knows, I've been in contact with both entities on an almost every other day basis. We're trying to figure it out. The objective and ultimate goal would be to have it done and accomplished and completed prior to the holiday weekend. But I'm not promising that, because those two entities are working a little bit out of my control. But it's going to be done. We'll just have to figure out those logistics.
Did anyone approach the American Legion about a donation?
I did. So I sent them an official letter. They did get back to me. They said it's something they will look into. I don't think it sounded like they have a lot of funds. But if they come back and they want to contribute a portion, that would be fantastic.
I know I'm not supposed to ask questions to other entities, so I'll ask the mayor. Where the hell is the Board of Education feasibility study at this point? We were promised in March, we were promised in April, we were promised early May. Mm-hmm. It's now mid-May. What are we doing?
I did speak to my friend who was on the Board of Ed up at Henry Hudson, and they said that it's pretty close to being done. Okay.
That's what we were told at the last meeting.
Right.
We do have the Atlanta College Board of Education president in the audience, and mm-hmm. I think she will be speaking to that.
Okay. Second question about the Mayor, you didn't do a report tonight, so I'll ask you directly. The town hall meeting dates, any new proposals?
Not at this time. Not at this time.
Okay. The Department of Education petition resolution. I asked about that at the last meeting, if we could take a motion to send it to the commissioner. I was told there wasn't a resolution prepared. The day after the meeting, I sent a letter to you and the entire council with a draft resolution ordinance.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been any movement?
We're going to have to speak with legal, but to your point, the the study's going to be coming out. I would assume that we were going to, we'll have to have a resolution at the next meeting just so that we have the opportunity to go to the state and have it looked at. Right.
That's what I brought up at the last meeting.
Right.
And now we're 2 weeks later.
I know.
So.
But it's a waiting, we're waiting for our.
You've been waiting.
I know.
So, next meeting, we will have a resolution to be voted on. Is that what I'm hearing?
Last meeting in May.
Yes. Last meeting in May.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
And segue.
Hello, Elizabeth Estrom, 123A East Highland Avenue. I'm the chair, the president of the Board of Education at Atlantic Highlands Elementary School. So in light of Mark Fisher's questions, as well as other questions, I know first I want to thank board members, Board of Education members who have been coming to meetings and who are listening in. I teach, the semester's almost over, so here, late on Thursday night, so now I can finally be here. So I do thank them for listening in, chiming in, just try to correct some misinformation. And I'd like to correct some misinformation this evening as well. So we are not behind schedule on the LEAP grant. We received the LEAP grant 1 year ago in May of 2021. It's an 18-month grant. So just like the engineer was speaking about how you have a certain amount of time, right? So we have 18 months. September of 22 is when our LEAP grant outlines that we should be presenting to the public. When the Boards of Education chairs, Dr. Beans, the VAs, and the mayors met, back I think it was in August, we agreed to speed up that timeline because of this very question. And that is exactly what we've been doing and saying the whole time. So we are, I don't need to go through every step, but we are now at the phase where in May, we will be having a meeting prior to the end of this month, in the next couple of weeks, an open session with the public about the LEAP grant and its recommendations and findings. So that, and that is what has been promised. We did not promise March, we did not promise.
Dr. Beans did.
Dr. Beans did.
She did at our meeting, she did. Okay, but it was.
So in my experience, in the meeting we had in August,
correct.
It was agreed May, June, and then pushed that up to April, May. The experts needed to wait for the Board of Education's budgets to be after this happened, a week ago, 2 weeks ago. So that is the primary delay. So we are actually well ahead of schedule of our original right? We are not behind. We are not trying to stall anything. And in fact, this will still enable, the reason we agreed and think it's a good idea is to accelerate this time so that we can potentially get something on the ballot for November, because the Board of Education also agreed that this, and this is a fact, this will be going to the public. We just don't know what it is yet because
correct.
We haven't had a chance to see the LEAP grant. We haven't had a chance to share that with the public or with you. Of course, once we have a date prior to the end of May, we will invite all public, certainly reach out to the mayor, council, etc., to let you know. But I just want to clarify, we have not been stalling or delaying. We have been working diligently as best we can to meet this. If there's anything else. Just to clarify, this, as I think, I know it's been said, but then repeatedly misrepresented, the LEAP grant does two things. It looks both at sort of immediately consolidating the three existing schools, so Atlantic Highlands Elementary, Highlands Elementary, as well as Henry Hudson. So that is part A. Part B is also looking at consolidating those three schools plus neighboring districts, including Sebring, right? So this will be, we anticipate, something that will be coming to us.
Was it Keyport and Union Beach at all? Just Sebring?
I don't. So I can't
all right.
speak to that.
But okay.
Anything I've seen on Facebook regarding...
It's Facebook.
Right. Our students in Atlantic Highlands will not be sent to Keyport or Keyport whichever
right.
school is, the Atlantic, the suggestion that Highlands and Seabright could form their own district. That doesn't make any sense, because that's just, district's getting smaller, so that, that was never done. So, and nor would Atlantic Highlands block that. We, you know, speaking as a Board of Education member, as well as a parent, I have a child who is going into Henry Hudson to ninth grade next year. He's very excited to do that. You know, as a Board of Education member, we have already shared many services, and the reason we applied for this LEAP grant was because we wanted to share more. We wanted to really look into what was possible. You know, it's a feasibility study. So what is feasible? What is possible for our school districts? Because we agree, they are too small, right? We agree having these three small schools and with three separate boards of education may not be the best form of governance, right? And we agree. So there's no, there aren't any Board of Education members that I know of that are against regionalization by any stretch of the imagination. Let's see. So there will be a session open to the public in late May. I'm sorry I don't have a date for you. There are a couple. We're waiting from the experts. There are a couple dates in mind, and as soon as we know that, we will certainly reach out. We were hoping to have that.
Make sure it's not May 26th, please.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's definitely, but that's a council meeting.
Yes.
No.
Okay.
PBA.
No, 27th.
No.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I looked at the website.
So okay, thank you.
Certainly want to work with you as best we can.
Mm-hmm.
I know you guys have lots and lots of committee meetings. I can't promise we can work around
that. That's quite okay.
Let's see. So, yes, I guess I'll just reiterate that we do look forward to hopefully having this, public session before the thing, and then hopefully there will be something that we can then get onto the ballot. August 15th is the deadline. We've been advised that we have plenty of time to do that. And of course, whatever the referendum question would be, we would have to build public support.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way, and that's really imperative, because what we've heard about with other successful rehabilitation projects, you have to have that grassroots support, right?
Correct.
So it's about helping the school districts run efficiently, effectively, helping taxpayers, helping the children, the faculty,
Quick question for you. By any chance, could you get that study to us so that we can see it before? Okay, right. Well, when you do, send it over to.
It will be presented at that time. I can ask Dr. Beans.
If we can get a copy.
Certainly will get a copy once.
Mm-hmm.
I know that it's practically done, and since it came from several different experts, they're just streamlining it to make sure it's not repetitive.
Okay.
All right. But we will, most of the Board of Education members will have a chance to look at it, and I'm sure it will soon be filled.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much. Ms. Keelan.
Keelan, 15 West Lincoln Avenue.
Sorry. That's okay.
Just a quick question. When this bill came down from Trenton, from everybody, including the janitor, signed it, was there a drop-dead date on when these districts have to get together and say we're going to create a bigger district?
No.
Then why are we rushing us? Why does it have to be everybody? I always say words matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because what Elizabeth even just said, the deadline. Well, what deadline? The deadline to get this on the ballot? Yes, that's what we're talking about here in this game, listening to me know that. But I don't understand, we're dealing with three towns, three governing bodies with mayors, three different schools with intelligent people. Wouldn't everybody would like to get all the information possible?
Mm-hmm.
Who is driving this, that this has to be on the ballot in November? What are the schools going to
come
up? Or are the teachers going to all walk out because they might not get the district? I don't understand. I don't understand why we're even pressing this company to get this the study from. and they got a grant, or knew they were getting a grant. What is it? What is, like, and what I'm really upset about is the false information. Who said this? Who said that? What town said this? Well, the other two towns passed this, and the other two towns, you didn't, you're hiding something, you're up to something. Enough. We're trying to make the best decision, and you guys are too, and I say this every, every single time I get up here talking about this issue. You're doing the right thing. I don't care how many council people show up from a different town over here. I don't care what the mayor of Highland says. At this point, I don't care. Wait and get all the information and make an educated decision. Now, the other two towns didn't want to do that. For some reason, they have to get it on the ballot in November. So be it. I think they're doing their constituents and also the children of those towns wrong. So I'm still standing up here today and thanking you for standing your ground and getting, so I don't even know why we're rushing this. From what deadline? Mrs. President, there's no deadline.
When we met last August, we were looking at the August 14th deadline that you can put in
I understand that. I understand. So if you're and Mr. Fisher, yes, it was out that there was a rumor, I guess, going around that in March the study was going to be done. I don't understand.
It wasn't a rumor. We had a meeting with Senator Declan.
Board of Education meeting.
Yeah.
The Dr. Beams doesn't work for herself. She wants the Board of Education.
Correct.
So before she makes a statement, maybe they should collaborate on that.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. But I'm done. I grew up in this town. I see things that are written in newspapers. Penny, and you know, I know, we fought for years and years and years and years because there's a rumor that Highland's parents don't like that.
Well,
I actually admired who's the reporter in this room right now. Pins Atlanta Highlands and Highlands against each other. And this thing, dealing with a timeline that's not existing. It's not.
Okay.
I'm upset about it. We've worked so hard to bring these two towns together. And for going out like, hey, Highlands, you know what Atlanta Highlands is doing? What you're doing? I really don't care right now what's going on in Highlands. I care about Atlanta Highlands. And I think everybody up there is doing the right thing, and thank you.
Thank you.
Any hands online?
On Zoom? Go
ahead. Yes, one hand raised. I'm allowed to talk. Jay Smith.
Wait a moment.
Is it on?
Yeah, it's on.
No.
Yeah.
You have line in on your feed.
Hello?
Is it on the line in for the source truck?
Just the connection.
Okay.
Make this very loud.
We can't get it with
him. Do we want to move to the one remaining public comment?
Oh, was there someone? I didn't see any hands.
Okay, why don't we go to Ms. Spicer?
You hit your hand up? I didn't see it. Sorry. I didn't even see your hand up. Sorry.
Morgan Spicer, 6 Victoria Woods Drive. Did you hear me?
I got you. Okay.
What is going on with cannabis?
Yes, that's a great question.
I'm still with the liberal speak on that.
It's going, we're going to talk about it, straighten it out, and it's going to our attorney very soon.
So based on that comment, I would assume that everyone on the task force is in agreement on the bullet points.
For the most, we had a couple items that we actually don't disagree on, but the way they were written, got to just confirm.
Yeah, job, right.
So
I understood one thing, somebody understood another. It's all it is.
So once the bullet points are finalized,
it's going.
Yeah, we'll do it. We'll prepare a draft ordinance, circulate it, make sure everybody's in agreement as to what it says, and then put something on the agenda.
So it probably won't happen next week?
I don't think so. Unless. Yeah.
Well, if we get the bullet, we should be able to do that by the next meeting and get it in.
Yeah.
I don't know if we can get it.
Yeah.
So it's a possibility, I would sound like.
I think it's,
It's pretty minor, I don't see it taking more than a day.
So everyone in the task force has their say, right? There isn't favoritism for people to sit on council versus residents.
No, I would say it's pretty equal, if not even greater.
I think the bulldog's sitting out there.
Yeah. There's a driver and he's sitting right there.
Just because, I mean, I think it's very annoying about this, and I want to believe that everybody is acting in good faith and is being honest when they say they're going to do things by a certain time. And it is now May, and I'm pretty sure it was August that we were kind of promised in January. So it's just really frustrating because I feel like I'm being duped.
What's happening?
One thing you'll see in municipal government is everything takes longer than you think it will.
All right, well, this stuff should be really
obnoxious
and keep
knocking
on this door.
Not
obnoxious. With everything that's going on, this climate crisis is going to get worse. It would be really nice to find a way to make some extra money here in town to protect residents of this Lime store. People who need access to generators in emergency. Like, wouldn't it be great if we just had an influx of cash constantly from out of the community into the community where it was coming from? It just makes a lot of sense to me. Thank you.
Okay.
Even more annoying, to quote my president, Bernie Sanders, who introduced Medicare for All to reintroduce Medicare for All today in Congress. This is going to be another huge issue in the 2024 election. I know there are some seats up for grabs here. I hope that there is anybody in the audience seeking to run, that this is an issue that you will pioneer, because this is the biggest issue facing this country. If nobody has access to health care, what are we? Like, we just went through a pandemic and people are dying left and right. We don't care. Councilman Murphy, I have to ask you, do you believe that Americans deserve less rights than people in other countries?
You don't have to answer such questions.
Did you have an opportunity to read the bill or the resolution that I sent that only one person responded to?
I did not.
Oh, but you know that I'm in favor of it.
You're good.
Okay.
Would anybody else like to say if they had the opportunity to read the resolution that I spent many times?
Nope. Personally, I see the need for health care and to be affordable, because I've gone through some experiences with that, and there are a lot of dead ends in our plan where people just get stuck. But it's a very complicated matter, and just saying it for Medicare for All is just so simple, and it may be the right direction, but it's so complicated that without seeing the end, and that's what we need our national leaders to do, is figure it out. And make it affordable.
What they do at the federal level, but
you know, but we depend on them and this.
To our councilman has already signed on to Medicare for All. Other towns have already done this. It is all essentially doesn't do anything. It just tells the residents of the Atlantic Highlands that you all believe that they deserve the same rights as everybody else in any other major country other than America. This is only happening here. That's why we have so much worse outcomes because of COVID, because we're not protected the way other countries are. So I promised Mary I wouldn't read from my phone, but I'm going to do it anyway. I would just like to read from this article in Fox News written by Bernie Sanders today. What they certainly will not tell you is that Medicare for All will save the average family thousands of dollars a year. In fact, a study by Rand found that moving to a Medicare for All system in New York would save a family with an income of less than $185,000, about $3,000 a year on average. Now, if Medicare for All was so great, you might ask, why hasn't it been enacted by now? Why hasn't the United States joined every other major country on earth guaranteeing health care for all? Well, the answer is pretty simple. Follow the money. Since 1998, in our corrupt political system, the private health care sector has spent more than $10.6 billion on lobbying, and over the last 30 years, it has spent more than $1.7 billion on campaign contributions to maintain the status quo. And by the way, this is bipartisan. In fact, they own many of the politicians in both Democratic and Republican parties. Guaranteeing health care as a right is important to the American people, not just from a moral and financial perspective, but also happens to be what the majority of American people want. In 2020, in a Hill-Harris poll, 69% of American people supported providing Medicare to every American. Now is the time for Congress to act. Now is the time for Council to ask Congress to act. Bottom line is, every major country on earth can guarantee health care to all and achieve better health outcomes than we do while substantially paying less per capita. There is no reason, other than greed, that I can see, I'm sure none of you can see, to do this. So one more time, with a little bit of anger, and I'm very sorry, because I like all of you very much. But I'm really upset. Thank you for answering my email. That went a long way, just an acknowledgement. And so I really hope that at the very least, somebody will read the resolutions the next time I come up here to complain, you'll at least have an understanding of what I'm talking about.
Thank you.
Thanks, Maureen. I appreciate your passion. Even a higher percentage of Americans believe that Roe v. Wade should be preserved too. So, you know, there's a lot of things right now that have me upset too.
I just wanted to add one more thing. Elizabeth Edge from 123A Highland Avenue. Regarding the Board of Education, I meant in my notes on the next page. Thank you, Council. More waiting. I appreciate it. I know it's not easy to publish. Mm-hmm. I do sincerely appreciate that. And I did want to announce to everybody, Dr. Beams has been making his announcements at every board meeting since she's joined about updates on regionalization. Of our most recent meeting for this week, mm-hmm. The next meeting, so there will be a May meeting specific to regionalization, but our next Board of Education meetings, where there will again be further updates on regionalization, are Monday, June 13th at 6 o'clock p.m. at Highlands Elementary School, Tuesday, June 14th, 7 o'clock p.m. at Atlantic Highlands Elementary School, and Wednesday, June 15th at 7 o'clock p.m. at Highlands.
Thank you.
So thank you.
So, Zoom?
Jay Smith, can we try it again?
Somewhat.
I am not a mayor of council members. Zoom was so much easier when the governor mandated it, wasn't it?
Excuse me, can we get your full name and address, please?
Jim Smith, Holly Springs, Mississippi.
Okay.
So, the Zoom was a lot easier when the governor mandated it. Unfortunately, I don't believe in coincidence. My name is Jim Smith. I'm the proud son, the very protective son of Muriel Smith. But make no mistake about it, I'm nothing like her. I don't possess the class, the temperament, or the pleasant outlook of Muriel. I was born and raised in Highlands. I played Pop Warner football for the Atlantic Highlands Highlands Tigers and had many close friends in Atlanta. For the most part, I've been away from the area since I entered the United States Marine Corps in 1979. 43 years ago, that's a lifetime. I want to bring up two subjects that honestly, I have little faith you will address or discuss publicly, and complete faith and the fact that Mr. Cena will advise you not to speak about it in this forum. Understanding that assumption, I pray that my plea won't fall on deaf in different ears, and you take a close look at your past actions or inaction, pause, give a thought, and hopefully go forward demonstrating compassion and understanding to all people with disabilities. Disabilities that are both seen and unseen. The items I would like to bring to your attention is the systemic discrimination that is prevalent throughout the government of Atlantic Islands and the retaliatory abuse that is leveled towards my mother due to the fact that she had the intestinal fortitude to file a complaint against this body, both of which fall squarely on each of your shoulders. As you are aware, my mother has filed a complaint against the borough for discrimination, despite what Mr. Crowley has indicated, if he showed up this evening. This complaint has not been resolved. That's how little you care about helping those who elected you. A sitting council member is not even aware if a complaint lodged with the State of New Jersey Department of Civil Rights is resolved or not. I'm not going to delve into that too much, but if you want to do the right thing, get involved. Understand the case, effectuate change going forward, and rectify the harm and damage that was caused in the past. If you don't want to do the right thing, then I would assume that a judge will. If you don't think public participation in municipal meetings remains a huge problem in Atlantic Highlands, I invite you to listen to the last planning board meeting. I'm asking you to give the disabled as much consideration as you gave Pride Month this evening. With regard to retaliation and abuse, Mr. Daugherty, and if you were here, Mr. Crowley, stay off Facebook, period. Mr. Bonds, the pettiness of your actions or lack of action is unmatched. Mayor, for sitting council members to ridicule, embarrass, humiliate, and taunt a widowed 85-year-old woman who was going blind is nothing short of demonstrating a lack of humanity. To have her contract quashed, failing to submit her name for re-election for her position that she held, and to call her opinions nonsense is petty, mean, and if you knew me, ill-advised. Being from Highlands, this is something I expect there. But this is Atlantic Highlands. You're supposed to be better than that. My suggestion, follow the lead of Seabright elected officials. The former mayor recently took the time, money, and energy to move my mother. A current council member drove her to this meeting this evening. That's true leadership, not the pettiness this council has been exhibiting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Is there anyone else online?
No additional raised hands.
Okay. Anyone?
Should we make a motion to close the comment?
We can just move on to the motion, the next resolution, which would be to go into executive session to discuss, I guess, potential real estate acquisition and personnel policies. Approximate duration, 30 minutes. No formal action will be taken.
So I need a motion and a second.
And a roll call.
Murphy.
Second.
And roll call.
Roll call.
Roll call. Mr. Murphy?
Yes.
Mr. Leitner?
Yes.
Mr. Daugherty?
Yes.
Mr. Barakia?
Yes.
Mr. Bonds?
Yes.
Want to go in the back room?
Yeah, back room. Back room?
All right, I'm reopening.
Okay, so
I
need a motion a second to come out of executive.
Murphy.
All in favor?
Aye.
I need one for
Murphy.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.